The following shiur has been presented by Rav Micha Cohen, Dayan at the Beis Chabad Halacha Center.
The Gemara in the Sechus Yuma on Daf Samech talks about the Bigdei Kahuna, the Begadim worn by the Kohen, and talks about two categories of Begadim. There's a Bigdei Lavan, the white Begadim, and the Bigdei Zov, the golden Begadim. The white Begadim, he would wear them when he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And when he was doing his normal Avaida, he would wear the white Begadim together with the Bigdei Zav, with the golden Begadim. The white Begadim consisted of the hat, the linen hat, the tunic, the pants. Those were the Bigdei Lavan. And the Bigdei Zav were the ephod, the apron, and the breastplate, as well as the me'il. And the reason why they were called the Bigdei Zav was because they had gold on them. Now, actually, the strands that made up the choshen and the ephod were each string. There were a number of different strands in there. One was linen, and there were a few woolen strands. One dyed red, one dyed blue, and one dyed purple. And the one dyed blue was from the tcheles of the chilazon, the blood of the chilazon fish. Argoman was from a different source. Now, and there was also a strand of gold in there. Now, those begadim were actually shatnas, because in each strand was woven together wool and linen. But as the Gemara discussed in this parak, since it was at the time of the Avodah, they were allowed to wear it. Now, in last year, we were discussing that in the times of the Kaftar of Farach, and then later in the times of Tzuhir Shkalasher, and of Kiveger, and of Dovah Kaliner, there were those that wanted to bring karbanos based on the Rambam that says that the Beis Hamikdash still has its kedusha today in today's days, even though there is no Beis Hamikdash. And last year we mentioned some of the difficulties as far as tumah hucha b'tzibur, that because people are tameh today, and because of knowing exactly where the mikdash is and knowing exactly where the mizbeach was and how to build the mizbeach, these are some of the issues that we discussed then, as well as which karbanos you could bring, as opposed to other karbanos that needed to have communal funds. In this year, we're going to focus on things having to do with the Bigdei Kahuna and issues having to do with the Kohanim that were raised. Now, one of the issues about the Kohanim that were raised is that today, even though many people consider themselves to be a Kohen, but it's a big question in the Paiskim, what is the strength of that chazaka? And the reason is because being a kohen is something that, although it has restrictions, that you can't marry a divorced woman and you can't go to a funeral, but it also has many benefits. It's an honorable thing. It's something that you would get all the chafdalad matan skahuna, all the 24 presents. And therefore, there was a concern that people would have an interest in assuming that they're kohanim, even though they weren't necessarily kohanim. And there's a tshuva, there's a response from the Maharaj Dam, from an early Achron, who he was of the opinion that the chazaka, that the assumption of kohanim being kohanim today, is very weak, to the point that that he felt it was very weakened for in a number of different ways. And the Tzvi Kalsher, in his discussions with Rabbi Kiva Eger, was dealing with this Maharaj Dam, because according to the Maharaj Dam, there's no chance of being able to bring a carbon today, because according to the Maharaj Dam, the yichus of the kohanim are considered to be very weak. Now, Rabbi Kiva Eger himself highly doubts the Maharaj Dam, meaning to say, if a person were to come to say, who was assumed to be a kohen, and marries a grusha, a divorced woman, we would say that they cannot stay married, because we assume to be a kohen. We're not just going to say that just because there is such an assumption that it doesn't hold water. We say, no, we have to take it seriously. But Rabbi Kiva Eger says that at the end of the day, because it's not entirely clear if he's a kohen or not, and for a person who's not a kohen to do the avodah, it's something that's very severe, it's very strict. So therefore, Kiriger says that he's still not comfortable with a kohen doing avodah bismanazah. A Kohen doing Avodah in today's day and age. Now, there are those that have a different approach. Actually, the Chassam Sofer himself, when he wrote to his father-in-law, Rabbi Akiva Eiger, he wasn't so concerned. And what he felt was, first of all, that in many areas of halacha, we follow chazaka. We follow an assumption. And the halacha is, the Marit talks about this in a tshuva, where a person was assumed to be a kohen, and then he went ahead and he wanted to marry someone he wouldn't be allowed to marry. And he says, no, I'm really not a kohen. It's not really true. And the Marit says that regardless of whether or not how much evidence we have that he's a kohen, but when something becomes an accepted fact, when a person acts a certain way, then it's very hard to dispute that fact. And halachically, we assume it to be that way unless we can really prove it otherwise. And that's the concept of chazaka. So therefore, since this person was acting as a kohen, it would be one thing if he didn't know he was a kohen and he wasn't sure, but since he was actually practicing as a kohen, so therefore to come and say he's not a kohen is very difficult. So based on this type of idea, the Chassam Sofer says that since we follow chazaka, and a kohen who has this chazaka, this assumption, we can assume he's a kohen for the purpose of karbonos as well. But then the Chassam Sofer adds another point, that we find a very unique halacha with regards to a kohen doing avodah that we don't find in other places. What happens if a person, a kohen who's a chalal, meaning to say that he is a kohen, but there's a problem with his lineage, does avodah? The halacha is that b'diavad, if it was done, it's kosher. It's good, it's okay. And what the Chassam Sofer brings from a pasuk is that since the avodah was done with the right intention, it was done and under the assumption that this person is a kohen, even if it turns out to be not true, that's enough. So says the Chassam Sofer that even though when it comes to lineage, we're more careful, but he said it could possibly be more lenient actually doing avodah. So again, you see two very different approaches that Rav Eiger says that I don't necessarily agree with this Marashtam who says that that the assumption of being kainam today is very weak, but nonetheless, because we're dealing with something so severe as bringing a carbon, which could be an iser karis, if you're not a kain, I don't want to rely. I'm still going to be concerned about the Marashtam. To Chacham Sofer, who was a son-in-law, who says that no, even if it really wasn't true, it's not the worst thing in the world because we have a chazaka, and if we're supposed to bring a carbon, then we would be allowed to bring a carbon. This is what the Chassam Sofer says over there. Now, another point that that's raised in this discussion is having to do with the begadim, the clothing worn. Now, we know that in order to bring a carbon Pesach, you don't need to have a kohen gadol. So, we don't need to be able to make all the begadim, meaning that the chayshin, the breastplate, had all these different types of stones on it, and not only that, but we don't really know what a lot of these begadim looked like, necessarily. So it would be very difficult to make all these different begadim. However, all we need is to have the clothing of a kohen hedyot, of the regular kohen. The regular kohen wore four garments. He wore a hat, a white linen hat, he wore a white linen tunic, he wore white linen pants, and he wore an avdat, he wore a belt. Now, all the items, except for the belt, were plain linen. So that's pretty simple. The question is, what about the belt? So there seems to be a dispute in the Rishonim whether or not the belt of the Kohen Gadol was just a plain linen belt, or was it made of the material of the similar of the Big Day Zav of the Kohen Gadol, which would mean to say that the avdat was made of strands of mixed wool, different colored wool, and linen. Now, because Eger raises the point that in order to be able to wear this belt, so we would have to have tchelis, right? Because one of the colors in the belt is tchelis. And for the last 1,000 years, we're not really sure what the tchelis is, what is the chilasin. So therefore, we're not going to be able to dye it blue. Now, that's one problem. Another problem is argamon. Argamon is a purple color, but where does it come from? So it seems it comes from a specific type of animal. And again, we don't know what the animal is. So we wouldn't be able to have tchelis and argamon. So because of this, Rabbi Kivayger says, because we wouldn't be able to make the belt, therefore we wouldn't be able to dress the kohen properly. And if the kohen does avodah without the proper begadim, it's a very serious issue. Now the truth is that there is a discussion in general about whether or not the color blue of the Bigdei Kahuna and possibly also all the other colors need to be made from a specific material. I mean to say, can I go to the store and get some acrylic sky blue paint or dye and dye tcheles? So when it comes to the laws of tzitzis, the Rambam clearly says that it has to come from a chilazon, from this type of fish, from the blood of this specific type of fish. However, when it comes to Bigdei Kahuna, the Rambam doesn't specify it. And now those that make the following an interesting argument, that we know that for many areas in halacha, like safe to, for a safer Torah, the items have to be mutar b'ficha, they have to be kosher. Now, a chilazon is most probably a non-kosher sea animal. The Radzina Rebbe said it was the cuttlefish. The more recently, many people believe it's the murex, it's a type of snail. So these things are not kosher items. So how do you put this non-kosher dye onto the Bigdei Kahuna if it's something used for a mitzvah, and it would ostensibly have to be kosher? So some understand that when it comes to the Bigdei Kahuna, you don't need to use actual blood of the chilazon or argaman. So therefore, you could use anything that's available. So according to that, then we wouldn't have Rabbi Kivayger's problem. But you do see that Rabbi Kivayger understood that, no, you do, the Bigdei Kahuna does need to be made from actual tcheles and actual argaman, and he may have a different way of dealing with the problem that it has to be kosher. Some hold that it's just a dye, so a dye is not a problem. But again, there are those that went that way and said that we could use anything that has the color, the proper colors. There's also a letter from the Netziv. The Netziv argued that to be a problem of mechusar begadim, of lacking begadim, if you don't have exactly all the right strands and all the right colors, it's still not called that you're lacking a beggar. That is the opinion of the Netziv. But again, Rabbi Kivi Eger, one of the greatest gedolim of the time, and Rabbi Dovah Kaliner, they both were very concerned about not having the proper begadim. Now, another problem is the shatness issue. That, as I mentioned to you, there's a machlokes here, what the belt is supposed to be made out of. Is the belt supposed to be a plain linen belt, or is the belt supposed to be made of all these different materials together? Now, if you hold like the opinion that it's supposed to be a regular linen belt, and then you go ahead and make it out of all these different materials, so it'll probably still be kosher, it'll still be fine. But you have a new problem. The problem is that you're wearing shatness. And you're wearing shatness, and you're not supposed to be wearing shatness, because perhaps you don't really need to have such a fancy belt. You just need a plain linen belt, so therefore you're going to be wearing shatness. So because of these two problems with the Bigdei Kahuna, number one, how do you get the tcheles and the argaman, and number two, the shatness issue, the Rabbi Kivi Eger and Rabbi Dovah Kaliner had objection to being able to bring a carbon bisman azah. And this is in addition to the issue about a kohanim having proper yichus bisman azah. There are those that also raise the point that the kohanim needed to have mamadais, there were specific families that would serve the Beis HaMikdash during certain times. And it would seem that it's not ma'akiv, that it wouldn't disqualify it, but some do bring that as a possible objection, that maybe you would not be able to bring a carbon if you don't know which mishmar, which group the kohen is from. So basically, to summarize the basic issues that were raised about bringing carbonas in these days that we covered in the past two shiurim, so we have the issue of exactly determining where the Beis HaMikdash stood and where the Mizbeach was. That'll be one issue. Another issue would be the issue of Tumah, the issue of impurity, as well as that. Do we say it's Tutra B'tzibur? And for which Karbanas? We have the issue of dressing the Kayin, as far as the proper clothing for him. And then we have the issue as well of the Kayin having the proper lineage and knowing that he is truly a Kayin, because only a kohen can do the avoda.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.